But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with another edition of Debunking FEMA Funding Lies. Move on to the 2020 mystery of the missing COVID tests. And follow all of that up with why SCOTUS went full forced birth. Let's begin, shall we? By now, you've probably heard the names Helene and Milton about 20 billion times, because these two hurricanes have ripped the Southeast a new one, leaving behind devastation that was stupidly described as weaponized weather targeting red states by the Neolithic Jewish space lasers expert from Georgia, who's either jealous that Dems have this kind of power or lying through her veneers. Because let's be honest, the fact that Mad Margarine isn't frequently struck by lightning whenever she speaks is proof that Dems do not control the weather. Or maybe the box color blonde Magadite was never shown how to use the weather controlling clicker, which just goes to show that we can't even trust Republicans to be able to manufacture hurricanes during hurricane season. But also explains why Truthless Don and his smoky-eyed sidekick suddenly started repeating the very distracting lie that Vice President Kamala Harris spent all the FEMA money on gift cards and fancy hotel rooms for migrants.
If you want to see how sick and distorted Kamala Harris's priorities are, just consider FEMA. Kamala spent all her FEMA money, billions of dollars, on housing for illegal migrants, including $1 billion for gift cards for illegal aliens and putting them up in luxury hotels with a gift card to welcome them to America.
And as I explained on my previous show, the lie detector determined that that was a lie. But that's beside the point, because anytime Loose Lips Don is talking, he's lying. This particular lie about FEMA being broke, that they're only handing out $750 and that's it, is a specific lie. That's quite deplorable for a plethora of reasons, but I'd like to focus on one in particular, and that is this cash-broke, paper-rich sack of moldy oranges is the leader of a cult that is unnecessarily suffering in places that were destroyed by Helene and Milton because of this lie. But hey, don't believe me. Here's an exchange between News Nation anchor Dan Abrams and a caller regarding a man who is dealing with his Trumpster father-in-law from Asheville, North Carolina, that completely proves my point.
My father-in-law lives just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, and he was badly damaged by Hurricane Helene, and he has refused all FEMA help because he's a hardcore Trumper. He literally believes that if he accepts anything from FEMA, they're going to take his house. I don't understand how so many people are under the spell of this freaking con man. I mean, he lost almost everything and complaining to us that he doesn't have food, that he doesn't have the stuff he needs, and yet he won't accept the help. I guarantee you, I'm not the only one. I guarantee you, I'm not the only one.
I wish there was something I could say as to, you know, I don't know. Does he have access to any electronics where you could send him some information debunking this and that he might?
We've done all of that. We've sent him all the FEMA bulletins. We've sent him all the stuff from the fact checkers. He doesn't believe it. He just believes Trump. Literally, Dan, it's a cult. He's a cult member. I'm sorry to say it. He's a cult member. And he's my father-in-law, and it sucks.
That just breaks my heart. The tiny-handed grifter's lies are completely unnecessarily affecting his people negatively, his own cult members, who are wrongfully believing that FEMA is coming to take their property if they accept the help that they so desperately need. And now that Category 4 Milton and his 150 tornadoes have plowed through Florida, how many more Trumplicans are suffering because of their dear leader's lies? Because at the end of the day, there is one side of the aisle that is politicizing the mess Helene and Milton left behind. And that is Republicans, specifically the smallest turd to ever be Speaker of the House, Mr. Mike Johnson, who said this before jetting off for a 5-week vacay.
President Biden has said more money is needed. Will you call Congress back before the election? Do you need to?
Look, we'll be back in session immediately after the election. That's 30 days from now. The thing about these hurricanes and disasters of this magnitude is that it takes a while to calculate the actual damages. You don't just send estimates to the federal government. You send specific needs and requests based upon the actual damages, and that takes some time, especially with storms of this magnitude. Congress will provide. We will help the people in these disaster-prone areas. It's an appropriate role for the federal government, and you'll have bipartisan support for that, and it'll all happen in due time.
Mr. President, Speaker Johnson has said a supplemental can wait until after the election. What kind of timeline do you have in mind, sir?
We can't wait. Can't wait. People need help now.
And in a world where maggots will do nothing for their constituents and yet expect them to vote, President Biden saying the obvious is a heroic act. And I want to thank him for that. No, really, thank you, President Biden, because Thumbelina Johnson thinks hanging out in a flattened home that is now an island because your neighborhood is 6 feet under for a whole month just to see if maybe you're going to get some help is an appropriate thing to ask. Because the first rule of MAGOT is never solve a problem when you can campaign on it. And to explain the deplorable world of making politics out of disaster relief, here is Florida Congressman Jared Mouskowitz speaking to NBC's Katie Tour.
Congress is on recess until November 12th. We here at NBC News asked Speaker Mike Johnson about his decision to not call Congress back to pass immediate relief funding. Here is what he told us.
Well, the fact is, I think many people have not fully understood, is that we did address it, and we did appropriate $20 billion additional dollars to FEMA with early drawdown authorities. There's plenty of money to address the immediate needs.
Well, he's kind of right. Okay, so first of all, he didn't appropriate any additional dollars. He used the word additional. What he did was, is instead of giving FEMA the money they needed to complete the 2024 year budget, because the disaster relief fund ran out of money, they originally were going to give FEMA $10 billion as part of the CR, but then the speaker stripped that out. Instead, what they said is you can start drawing money down from your 2025 budget early.
So apparently, Speaker Flacid thinks the disaster relief funding should be treated like a payday loan, which is fucking terrifying. Because not only is it deplorable to force FEMA to borrow $20 billion against a 2025 budget that hasn't even been appropriated yet, but it's surprisingly dumb considering that logic behind the grant FEMA access to next year's budget early so they can pay for this year's disasters clearly came from a Popeye cartoon character.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Oh, God. I fucking hate people. You are so stupid. Helene took out six states and got Florida two beat downs with Milton showing up with 150 confirmed tornadoes and a fuck ton of water, by the way, that has turned the middle of the state into new oceanfront property Donnie Dunscap was bragging climate change would bring with it, and that was a good thing, apparently. Too bad the lying orange purposefully forgot to mention the original homeowners would literally still be living at the property when it became prime real estate. Because one man's devastation, of course, is a failed real estate developer's cheap flip. Am I right? Meanwhile, in what Assholioni doesn't want people talking about right now news.
New reporting from journalist Bob Woodward, his new book called War, the veteran reporter, writing that during the early days of the pandemic, while it was raging here in the U.S., that then President Trump secretly sent a number of those rare COVID test machines to Vladimir Putin for Putin's personal use.
Here's what they said. Putin, please don't tell anybody you sent these to me. Trump, I don't care. Fine. Putin, no, no, I don't want you to tell anybody because people will get mad at you, not me. They don't care about me.
And you know what I care about? The fact that Pooty Poot was concerned about getting caught with COVID tests from America, sent to him by his favorite dollar store dictator, at a time when they were the only tests we had. But the Danger Yam and his pathetic excuse for an administration staff were gaslighting the American people at the same time who desperately needed the COVID tests that had just been shipped off to Russia.
These massive lines stretching for miles at COVID testing sites from Texas to California and Florida, as more than a dozen states face major testing problems more than 6 months into the pandemic.
California, where lines just to get a COVID test stretch for blocks. In Arizona, the wait is up to 12 hours.
I have always said testing is somewhat overrated because what happens after somebody takes a test? What's going on there?
I don't think you need that kind of testing or that much testing.
It could be the testing's frankly overrated.
The Trump administration is planning to end its funding and support for coronavirus testing sites.
The notion that everyone needs to be tested is just simply nonsensical.
If you don't test, you don't have any cases.
By having more tests, we find more cases. By having more cases, it sounds bad.
When you test, you have a case. When you test, you find something is wrong.
And when you test, you create cases. So we've created cases.
And that, my friends, is why we do not elect low IQ individuals who happen to remember watching a couple of episodes of General Hospital, like back in the 70s. And that's why they know so much about communicable diseases. Because you end up with recommendations to inject bleach and shine light into your body while slurping down a tube of ivermectin. Not to mention 400,000 people who died from COVID while the fraud father was convincing his poorly educated followers COVID tests are overrated because he'd shipped them all to Russia. Which is why Kamala Harris's response to this bullshit during a visit to Howard Stern's show is giving, this is the leader we need.
In the height of the pandemic, and remember, and your listeners will remember, people were dying by the hundreds.
Yeah.
Everybody was scrambling to get these kits, the tests, the COVID test kits.
You couldn't get them.
Couldn't get them.
Right.
Couldn't get them anywhere.
Right.
And this guy who is president of the United States is sending them to Russia to a murderous dictator for his personal use? You're getting played. And some would say, look, I grew up in the neighborhood. Some would say you're getting punked.
Yeah.
If you stand in favor of somebody who's an adversary over your friends on principles that we all agree on.
Well, apparently we don't agree. And by we, I mean Putin's puppet when it comes to the literal survival of American lives that had no idea whether they contracted a deadly new coronavirus because the only means to test them was on a plane headed to Putin's front door. That's the difference between all of us and Eric Stad. And since we're talking about the differences that make a person unfit to be president of the United States, here is another story that I'm sure the killer of Roe does not want you to know about.
A new report out from the Senate Judiciary Committee alleges that the Trump White House blocked the FBI's investigation of Justice Brett Kavanaugh before he was named to the Supreme Court. The investigation, which was led by Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, reported that the Trump White House prohibited the FBI from choosing whom to interview and from following up on potential leads that might have corroborated the allegations of sexual harassment laid out by Christine Blasey Ford.
On September 12, 2018, allegations of sexual misconduct by Kavanaugh, which had not been uncovered during the FBI's full field background investigation, accusations by Dr. Christine Blasey Ford that Kavanaugh had sexually assaulted her while the two were in high school.
I believed he was going to rape me. I tried to yell for help. When I did, Brett put his hand over my mouth to stop me from yelling. This is what terrified me the most and has had the most lasting impact on my life. It was hard for me to breathe, and I thought that Brett was accidentally going to kill me.
Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation of the Supreme Court, the second of Donald Trump's three nominees, helped conservatives get one step closer to the supermajority on the court that they needed to then overturn Roe versus Wade.
Okay, so it is what we thought it was. The only reason Bill Kavanaugh sits on a throne of lies at the Supreme Disaster is so that he and other MAGA jesters on the bench could take back American women's rights, starting with what they can do with their own body. Because states' rights. And while we were learning just how much this uninvestigated perv loves his beer during his confirmation hearing, Man Boob Mussolini was behind the scenes, preventing the FBI from looking into thousands of tips and interviewing hundreds of witnesses who knew what a pathetic incel Kavanaugh actually is. But why go to all the trouble for a D-average Nepo baby? Because Kavanaugh came highly recommended by the creators of Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation. That's why. Because a majority MAGAT SCOTUS is what makes the Christianization of America happen by housing a bunch of angry and rapey white guys along with their resident Karen Comey Barrett and Clarence Token Thomas to make it look like misogyny and racism is equitable. For example, Arkansas Governor Sarah Cheeto Lips Sanders went full Lydia against Kamala Harris at a Trump rally, and Kamala's very demure response.
I saw the governor of Arkansas said,
"So my kids keep me humble. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris doesn't have anything keeping her humble."
How did that make you feel?
I don't think she understands that there are a whole lot of women out here who, one, are not aspiring to be humble. Two, a whole lot of women out here who have a lot of love in their life, family in their life, and children in their life. And I think it's really important for women to lift each other up. We have our family by blood, and then we have our family by love. And I have both. And I consider it to be a real blessing. And I have two beautiful children, Cole and Ella, who call me Mamala. You know, all of us understand that, you know, this is not the 1950s anymore.
Well, someone needs to go and tell whoever's in charge of Sarah's wardrobe, because right now that pasty biatch is dressing for Father Knows Best like she's trying to bring women our property back. And that might be all and well for a pick-me like Sarah, but the majority of women in America do not want to return to pre-1970s times when a woman had to get married in order to live because they weren't legally allowed to have a bank account, a credit card, or even rent or buy a house without a man. Not to mention the nationwide right to a no-fault divorce is only 14 years old. Women are not looking for an attaboy from a dude for being humble. Because contrary to what every MAGA Chad driving a jacked up truck with regular sized tires thinks, women are people too. We have dreams and goals we want to accomplish that have absolutely nothing to do with spending 36 hours pushing so hard we shit in front of our OBGYN and four other nurses in the room just to be told they're going to have to cut this thing out of us. And then spend roughly 20 to 25 years raising that kid on our own, regardless of whether or not the man sticks around, because American men have gotten to thinking that being an active part of your kid's life is just going to work every day and bringing home a paycheck. Oh, and then dehumanizing a woman, having this vision of what women are, that disgruntled Kevins hold onto for all dear life. Better than they do their receding hairlines, which happens to be the driving force behind bullshit like this.
A lower court ruled that Texas hospitals cannot be required to provide emergency abortions if they break Texas law. Today, the Supreme Court upheld that ruling by declining the Biden administration's appeal.
In Texas, abortion is banned except when the life of the mother is at risk.
The Biden administration was worried that this violated a federal law that requires doctors to give you stabilizing care whenever you are in an emergency room. But the lower court said, look, that federal law, that doesn't provide specifics. And also, the Texas law has these exceptions.
The justices didn't say why they made the decision, and no public comment was made either.
Of course they're remaining silent after refusing to do their job. All the Biden administration wanted was for Texas to adhere to EMTALA, a federal law that ensures you get stabilizing care if you walk into an emergency room. And Texas was like, yeah, but you think abortion is stabilizing care, and we got rid of that procedure unless certain circumstances are happening. So MAGA SCOTUS said, we're good. And now if you're pregnant in Texas and you need an abortion because your pregnancy is having a life-threatening complication, you're probably going to bleed out in the parking lot before a doctor takes a look at you. And that's because
Texas's near total abortion ban criminalizes medical professionals who carry out abortion procedures. Even when DNCs are used for other medical purposes, doctors are simply too afraid to be able to do their jobs.
The current law, which went into effect in 2021, states that if a fetal heartbeat is detected, a life-threatening medical condition must exist for a physician to be allowed to perform an abortion.
What I want people to understand about abortion ban exceptions is I think it creates like this idea that you can at least provide care to those that are most vulnerable or needed in the most dire of situations, but it is nearly impossible to account for the nuances of pregnancy, to account for the myriad of anomalies or things that can just go wrong. These are decisions that have to be made with providers, with their expertise and their training, and there's no government official or elected officials that can account for that or consider all of the things. And so I need folks to understand abortion bans don't work, and then this piece around exceptions just adds even more confusion.
Okay. FF study found that 68% of OBGYNs believe the Dobbs ruling has worsened their ability to manage pregnancy-related emergencies, and 64% say pregnancy-related mortality has increased.
Yeah, it has. And thanks to the Trump-inspired abortion ban, specifically in Texas, but all around the country. But yeah, see, Texas, the mother mortality rate is now 56%. Because as long as that baby's being born, they don't give a fuck about the woman. Now that sounds really messed up, and it is. But also consider that in Texas, everything is bigger. So along with their abortion ban contributing to now hundreds of women dying, they're also directly contributing to the rise in infant mortality. Since 2021, when the statewide abortion ban went into effect, Texas has lost 13% more babies under the age of one than prior to the ban. Why? Because every sperm is sacred? So sacred that when something like splitting cells in a uterus is considered a real life baby, it's not just about making sure every embryo sees the light at the end of the birth canal. It's about punishment for any woman who dares to deny their Republican Jesus-given purpose.
There is, however, a darker truth lurking behind these efforts. To remain indifferent to the countless women who are harmed by these abortion bans is to see them as nothing more than collateral damage in a broader crusade to impose forced births. By treating abortion as a crime, as something isolated from general maternal health care, Christian fundamentalist extremists frame women's bodily autonomy as something to be policed and controlled by the state.
Should the woman be punished for having an abortion?
This
is not something you can dodge.
If abortion is a crime
or abortion is murder, you have to deal with it under the law. Should abortion be punished?
Well, people in certain parts of the Republican Party and conservative Republicans would say, yes, they should be punished.
How about you? Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Abortion care is health care, and the GOP's campaign to convince you otherwise poses a deadly threat to American women.
And I don't know how many times I'm going to have to keep repeating the fact, the medical fact, that abortion is health care. I'm just going to keep saying it. Because when I was a little girl, I wanted to be a paleontologist. I wanted to travel all over the world and dig up dinosaur bones. Thought that was great. And I don't know about you, but this job actually has nothing to do with my uterus or my fallopian tubes or my cervix or how old I am or whether or not I'm close to menopause. Just like any former little boy who is out there listening, who just wanted to be whatever they wanted to be, so did I. Because little girls and women, we're people too. And a woman's purpose is whatever she says it is, regardless of how functional her reproductive organs are and whether or not she intends to use them. And just like ejaculation has nothing to do with being anything besides being a porn star or a sperm donor, a woman's unfertilized eggs are not her unrealized potential. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. Places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.